From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
And welcome to hour number three. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, gogginkohl.com. Don't forget, coming up at 6:35, Barry Wilner, the pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. He'll join us talking week 15 of the NFL. But right now, our good buddy Doug Seegers joins us from Birmingham, formerly with the Nashville Banner, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone on Sunday nights on ABC 3340. Doug, we appreciate you as always, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ballpark. Good to be here.
You know, it's still strange for me. I'm watching the corner of my eye. Of course, tonight is the a College Football Awards night, all the awards being handed out, except, of course, for the Heisman Trophy, which that gets its own stage on Saturday night. It's still strange, though, seeing Jalen Hurts and realizing he's not with the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Well, think about it. I mean, you've got three transfer quarterbacks are playing a big role in the playoffs. So that's, you know, it's kind of the norm. But, yeah, he still feels, I think, a lot of Alabama fans like an Alabama guy.
I mean, you got Joe Burrow, former Ohio State, now at LSU. Jalen Hurts, formerly with Alabama, now with Oklahoma, all in the playoffs. And then you got Justin Fields, formerly with the Georgia Bulldogs. Do you think Georgia fans are wondering what life would have been like with Justin and not Jake Fromm?
No, but I think at the time he left Jake Fromm was clearly the better guy. I don't think anybody thinks that Justin Fields would have transformed his offense. The problem was they didn't have any playmakers on the edge. He's had a great season. He's a great fit for that offense, but he probably would have had to wait another year. I think what we have seen, though, is that the year of waiting patiently in the wings is kind of gone the way of the dodo bird. It's just, you know, if you don't play almost immediately, you're going to find greener pastures elsewhere. We saw Joey Gatewood leave the middle of the season. He's now at Kentucky. He left Auburn, obviously. And, you know, he certainly had reason. Bo Nix is a true freshman. If Bo Nix hadn't become the starter, might he have gone elsewhere? You know, so coaches are having to recruit these 4 and 5 stars to SEC schools, but they've got to play right away or they're not going to play at all. Mac Jones, who kind of waits in the wings, is the exception to the rule now.
Hey, by the way, I don't know if you should be concerned or not, but and it could be a burner account from Jim Harbaugh, but Harbaugh, that's what his name is on Twitter, like the fact that you're joining me now on Twitter. So he... Because, you know, before every guest, we send that out, who's coming up.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a burner.
And it's a new account. And it's the only name, you know, like me is, you know, I've got the BP Frank show on Twitter, right? And his only name is Harbaugh. So there you go.
Yeah.
So
yeah, got to be Jim. Long time no see.
All right. So your thoughts when you first saw the matchups, you know, with regards to how things played out, I didn't like the fact it was drawn out to the point where negativity started setting in. And I think in so many ways, it really shaped the destinations for Tennessee and Mississippi State. Because I really felt like early on it was going to be Tennessee coming to Nashville until all of a sudden you had some lobbying going on. You didn't want Mississippi State, obviously, did not want to go, no offense, but did not want to have to go back to Carolina. And so before we got the early announcements out there that it was going to be Tennessee, Louisville in the Music City Bowl, then you started getting that backlash from the Tennessee fans. And before all is said and done, before the ink could dry, It's Mississippi State, Louisville here, while Tennessee takes on Indiana in the Gator Bowl.
I mean, it feels not like it's 1975 all over.
That's the way it works, yeah.
Yeah, and the coaches and ADs are brokering these deals. I thought we had a little more sophisticated system than that. So, listen, I certainly understand Mississippi State kind of wanting to get away. I understand Tennessee wanting to get to a sunny climate. But at the same time, I mean, you know, this isn't 1996. I mean, these you know, bowl bids are not coming every year for Tennessee. So give credit to Phil Fulmer for doing some good behind-the-scenes work.
I keep throwing this out there. There's no guarantee in North Florida that it's going to be balmy in the 70s in Jacksonville. We're not talking
That's
Miami
true.
Here, all right? You know, because I went to school at Florida State. I went had to wear, like, layered out, you know, clothing to some November football games, right? So it does get cold in North Florida. So we'll see how the Jacksonville game will play out with regards to the Gator Bowl on that particular day. But just, you know, throwing that out there, don't necessarily be just counting on the fact that you're going to be laying out in the sun.
No doubt, but it's still probably going to be warmer than it will be in Nashville or Charlotte. I think it's more a perception battle that you know, Tennessee wanted to come away with a victory, and the Gator Bowl just looks better on the resume. You still got to go out and win the game, you know, and this notion that, well, nothing matters now because of the playoffs, I don't think it's really changed much since we really started the BCS. You know, bowls matter to teams that haven't been there in a while. They don't matter as much to teams that see it as a downgrade from previous fortunes, i.e. In Alabama, Georgia, that have played in recent national championship games. But I think for the most part, it's a reward. You know, UAB's going to a bowl for only the fourth time in school history. They could play on the moon. It would be a big deal.
Hey, by the way, speaking of UAB, no offense, but I don't want to see Appalachian State take on UAB in a bowl game. Appalachian State, this is just one of those special years, probably the most historic year in Sun Belt history for a team, and the reward is to play UAB in a bowl game. That's what there's 78 slots, right? 39 bowls, 78 slots. You couldn't find a better pairing in that case. Appalachian State.
Can't. And that's the problem with the Power Five. They don't have any, or the group of five don't have the power. And, you know, that's what happens. If you don't get that New Year's Six bowl, you're just out of luck if you're a lower echelon league. And listen, normally the Conference USA is a notch or two above Sunbelt. Not this year. This is a great year. App State deserves a much better bowl. At the same time, I don't know what team we're going to get because you've lost your coach. You may lose most of your coaching staff, which might mean they're spending the bowl prep recruiting for another school or at least finding jobs. So you really don't know what App State team you're going to get. And I kind of feel bad for their players.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a huge step forward for them, even though it may be perceived as a disappointing bowl.
Well, here's the thing, though. Then work together, just like the Power Five conferences do. If you're the group of five, work better to get, say, if you've got a team that's an outlier, in this case, an Appalachian State. We know the top team will be playing in the group of six games, which that's why we have Memphis playing Penn State in the Cotton Bowl. But if you're Appalachian State, you're taking on only the second best team as far as Conference USA. Where's the reward there?
There's none. So here's what you got to do. You got to sustain the excellence, which we've seen in the Mountain West with Boise State. You know, the Mountain West has upgraded its bowl fortunes because they have programs now, not just Boise State, but mostly Boise State, that are good every year. They sell out these bowl games. Their fans travel. And so you've got to do this over a number of years to really improve your fortunes. And it's kind of been hit or miss for both the Sun Belt Conference USA, which are kind of on the lower end of the food chain. They need an App State, a UAB, an FAU, whoever, to kind of do this for like four or five straight years and become more of a marketable name, and that's when you improve your bowl stature.
I mean, here's the thing. There's 10 teams from the ACC, for example. I would have been fine with Appalachian State taking on one of the final three teams from the ACC. But, you know, taking on the second-best team from Conference USA, that doesn't do any of the college football fans any good.
It doesn't, but again, the Power Five schools are the ones that kind of shut out the Group of Five. They're the ones that are making these great, you know, I mean, look how many bowl slots the SEC has that couldn't even fill this year.
Right.
Didn't fill last year. You know, they're going to get the best deals. They're the power brokers, and they're going to take the best deals for their teams. Even teams that are less deserving get better bowl bids. And again, that's part of the inequity of the system. And that's why I favor the 18 playoff with five Power Five champions, one Group of Five champion, and two wild cards. Let's do it.
With that said, Appalachian State still would not have been in the playoff, just throwing that out there. In fact, even Memphis,
you're right, you're
even
right.
Memphis would not have been in the playoff either.
Refresh me, Boise?
Nope, none of them. Because if you're 1 through 16, Memphis was 17th, Boise State 19th, Appalachian State.
In my plan, the highest-ranked Group of Five goes in as a conference.
They won't do that. They won't give you that. They're not going to allow you to crash.
If you're not making a national playoff, just keep it the way it is.
This committee did a horrible job anyway with regards to their top 25. I mean, Wisconsin didn't move. Their three losses, they're number eight, including a loss to a team that they were favored by 31 over. They got blown out once by Ohio State, 38-7, and they're still number eight. Or a Virginia team that still remained in the top 25 despite giving up 60-plus on Clemson. Yeah, nice job, playoff committee.
Well, I will say this, that I thought there was a rhyme and reason of the way they did things. They had Alabama 13th. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination whether Alabama's down to me as quarterback that they're just the 13th best team. However, they kind of rewarded people by who they beat, and the conference championship game losers were not really penalized for losing an extra game. So I see the rationale there. I don't think it was a conventional AP style ranking or even an FPI ranking. I think it was more, this is the criteria. It's who you beat, and we're not going to thump you on the wrist if you lose an extra game.
You should be penalized for losing to a team you're favored by 31 over. That's who you should be penalized. I mean, seriously. Wisconsin. It doesn't matter. You're not supposed to lose to a team. You're an unranked team. You're favored by 31 over. You're not supposed to lose games like that.
You're not. But this is every year is a pretty much a new committee. So there's no consistency in how they rank them. And I don't agree with the rankings, but I have no problem with how they approach it. Listen, I thought Wisconsin was overranked to begin with, but that's where they had them, and then they didn't penalize them for losing to Ohio State.
I will say this, and I was breaking this down today. I was looking at all the variations of conferences versus conferences in these, you know, all these matchups of these 39 games, and the most the most that we have in any of these. Now it'll probably change, obviously, when we get to the finals with regards to who's playing for the national championship. But right now, the answer is three. That's the most. It's like Mountain West versus the Mid-American Conference, three games there. Also three games between Big Ten and Pac-12, three games between the SEC and the ACC, and three games against the from the SEC and Big Ten. But for the most part, you have a lot of single matchups with conferences versus conferences. You know, remember, there's 10 conferences, three independents playing. And I like the fact there's a lot of diversity where we're seeing a lot of different conferences playing each other.
Yeah, but I'd like to see more diversity. I mean, the SEC plays the ACC all regular season. I'd like to see them play more of the Pac-12 and the Big 12, particularly the Pac-12, because you very rarely see an SEC Pac-12 matchup unless it's a home and away or it's in the playoff.
Well, if you're talking to SEC, there's no diversity. There's only three conferences the SEC is playing against, and that's the three against the Big 12, three against the ACC, and three against the Big 10.
Right. Right. So I would just like to see things, or maybe not lock down as many bowl slots, kind of create different tiers where you're guaranteed, but kind of give some of these fans, again, so you don't have a repeat trip to Charlotte or you don't have a repeat trip to Jacksonville, you know, maybe you end up in Vegas or San Diego, you know, because I think for certain games, fans will travel. Now, that gets a little more expensive, but if fans are committed, they're going to go no matter where their team goes.
Well, the problem with that, you've played the game either as a kid or as an adult, musical chairs, right? These conferences don't want to be in a situation where one of their teams get left out of one of these nice – that's why they plan ahead. That's why they lock up these bowl slots, because they'd rather play it safe than take their chances of that one year where one of their teams get left out.
No doubt. It's all about the money.
I mean, just like the Pac-12 today, belly aching. You know, Larry Scott, all this complaining, how it's bad for the brand of the Pac-12 that, once again, playoffs are around, and they don't have a representative in the playoff.
Well, you know, they had a team. They had a team that had an outside shot. And let's face it, if Utah beats Oregon by 10, they're probably in.
Exactly. So, that's on them.
That just happens on the field. But they're also complaining, well, Oregon took an extra chance, and that's what really knocked them out, was the loss to Auburn.
What do you mean extra chance? They have three non-conference games. That's their – to stop with that nonsense. I still go back. Every team should play 11, but I'll take 10. I don't care how many conference games you have. If you've got a mediocre league like the Pac-12, I mean, they're just when you look over the last 6 years, it's a league defined by mediocrity of these 6-6 teams. That their 6-6 teams are not like really good teams. They're mediocre compared to, like, say, the Big Ten or the SEC. So the bottom line is I just wish that all of these programs would play a minimum of 10 against Power 5 conferences. You can include Notre Dame, BYU, those independents like that, or even Army in that mix. But I would love to see 11 of the 12 in that situation.
I would like to see it, too, and I'd like to see just the end of the games against FCS teams, because, again, I think that hurts perception. You don't hear anything about it in September when other leagues are playing, but the way the SEC schedules it, particularly a handful of teams, it's a major detractor, and they're losing the perception battle in those terms. I would like to see more uniform scheduling across the country. Let's see a Pac-12 SEC showdown like we do in basketball, Big 12 and Big 10, you know, over two weekends in the regular season. You know, the ACC switches out with somebody. And let's do this regular basis where everybody's got a little skin in the game and nobody's trying to shirk the scheduling. You know, Ohio State got a big boost this year because Cincinnati had a great year. And that really saved their schedule in terms of the non-conference. But I guarantee you, they did not schedule Cincinnati because they thought they might be a top 25 team.
Hey, by the way,
that was supposed to be cupcake.
You know, I'm not a fan of expanding the playoff because I really don't want to see. I think with the four we got is great. I mean, because I don't know what we add to when we add three two-loss teams and a three-loss team to the mix. That's what we would get if you expanded from four to eight. But if you're going to do it, and I hear the belly aching about, you know, you can't expect fans to travel to three games, blah, 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 blah. Well, it's really simple. You know, all the playoff games would not necessarily have to be, quote unquote, a part of a bowl mix. Only you could keep it where it is right now, semifinals and the championship game. That's what I was going to say. Your first round games, if you're 1-8, 2-7, 3-6, and 4-5, the 5-8 seeds would have to go to the top four seeds' home site. Simple as that. It's problem solved.
Well, I can see expanding the playoff and actually making the fans travel less. And you do that by getting rid of divisions, getting rid of conference championship games, because you probably have to reduce the regular season by game anyway. So that's one less game you travel to, although it may be in closer proximity. Then you play the first round on campus, and the semifinals and the finals are just like they are now over the same weeks, January 1st roughly, and then a week after. But you also make the conference title mean something. You also make the scheduling mean something. because right now it's imperative. If you go undefeated and you're a Power 5 team, you're going to get in the playoff no matter who you play, no matter how bad your conference is. Listen, don't get me wrong, Clemson will probably can very well win the national title again. They probably will win the national title. They played absolutely nobody. If they lose the game, they're out. They managed to go through unscathed. But again, all you got to do is go 12-0 and win a Power 5 championship. With all you got to do, that's very difficult. I realize that.
That's all you got to do.
But you can play a schedule like an Auburn or a Texas A&M, South Carolina, and you almost have no shot from the start because there's no way you're going to go undefeated against that schedule.
The SEC just means more. Sorry.
Well, it should. I mean, it's a religion down here, man.
Hey, we appreciate. By the way, before we let you go, quick question, because everything I'm hearing, my gut's starting to tell me, folks I'm talking to in Tuscaloosa, that it's not just a Christmas dream as far as hoping Santa brings that nice present under the tree as far as fans for Alabama, but a very good chance that Tua, Devontae Smith, you hear Alex Leatherwood as far as offensive linemen, Dylan Moses, all back for 2020.
There's a lot of speculation about that. Tua's already come out and said if he's not top 15, he would consider it. I still think when all's said and done, even if he's not available to August, that he will be valuable enough because of his skill set to go in that range. But there is talk that some players that were assumed to be early entrants realize they can help their stock, which means doubling your value over a 4-year period, just getting in the top 10. And, you know, that's one good thing that Saban does is they have these players evaluated. They talk frankly with them and they get NFL feedback at the highest level and kind of let them know where they're going to fall. And they're very rarely off the mark. Now, they told Mack Wilson last year he wasn't going to be a first round pick. He wasn't a first round pick. He ended up starting for the Cleveland Browns. He is not graded that well. And he was upset that they kind of encouraged him to come back. He may have been an absolute first rounder had he done that, but it seems to pay off for him. But for the most part, they're very accurate about their assessments and most of the players respond in kind.
As always, Doug, we appreciate you, buddy. Hope you have a great week. We have enjoyed having you on, obviously, throughout the football season. We love having you on throughout the year. And no countdown to kickoff tailgate show this Saturday, but coming back on Saturday the 21st, a special 3-hour bowl edition from 9 a.m. to noon, and looking forward to having you on that.
I look forward to it, buddy. Thanks, John.
Thank you again. Doug Segrist joins us, and if you want to follow him on Twitter, you can do so at D. Segrist on Twitter. Open segment coming up. Don't forget, a little bit later this hour, Barry Wilner, the pro football writer for the Associated Press in New York, will be joining us. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still a major mess out here due to this crash on 65 northbound here up by Harding Place, between Armory and Harding Place. Again, trying to get up from Brentwood here on 65 northbound back into Nashville, just crawling along. Yes, it's heavy going southbound. That's a given as you make your way down through there on 65 down through Williamson County. It's wrecking clear on 65 up there at Long Hollow Pike. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for dinner tonight, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up. ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For tonight, expect the site temp to showers late in the overnight, otherwise mostly cloudy sky, low 38 degrees. As we start up that weekend on your Friday for your daytime hours, showers as we progress through your afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies, high near 15. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jimmy O'Neill.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios. Football season means that there's still plenty of tailgating going on, viewing parties, and more. Here's the thing. If you're planning on drinking, then have a plan. Call a friend, call a cab, have a designated driver. But the bottom line is, if you put down some drinks, then put down your keys. Remember, fans, don't let fans drive drunk. This message brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office. The Nashville Predators certainly needing a win tonight on the road. They have struck first there in the first period against Buffalo, leading Buffalo 1-0. And you look at where the standings are going into tonight's action. Nashville tied with Minnesota, just 3 points out of last place in the division. But from the other standpoint, you're looking for as a team that, they're 9 points out of second, 10 points out of first. There's 4 points that separate 1 through 4 in the Central. Colorado leading the way with 43 points, St. Louis 42, Winnipeg with 40, and Dallas with 39. Nashville 6 points behind Dallas. In the Atlantic, huge separation. Buffalo is tied with Montreal for second in the Atlantic, right, with 36. 10 points behind Boston entering play tonight. But the when you're on the road like this and you're needing a win, the Preds have done exactly what they need to. Get off to the early start. Up 1-0 once again, 6:11 to go, or now just under 6 minutes to go in the first period. Week 15 of the NFL kicks off tonight. The Baltimore Ravens playing host to the New York Jets. The Jets 16.5 to 17 point underdog tonight. I like the Jets plus the 17, and I like the over 44.5 in this matchup tonight. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with our good buddy Barry Wilner with the Associated Press up in New York. We'll look at that. We'll look at Green Bay, Chicago, Tennessee, Houston, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, another big game this weekend. The Rams, favorite on the road against Dallas, as well as the contest is key for Minnesota. You know, they're trying to keep, dibs as far as the wild card spot, right? They're on the road taking on the Chargers. That's not going to be easy for Minnesota this weekend.
No.
Wendell in Nashville, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'd like to talk about the coaching carousel.
Yeah, go for it.
So everybody's talking about Lane Kiffin in Oxford as a match made in heaven. But I think it's just been a little too long since they've looked at his past coaching records and the SEC and I guess it was the Pac-10 back then, or I'm not sure how long ago that was, but, you know, he had some pretty dismal records when he actually had some tough competition.
Yeah, he's gotten better at every stop. That's the thing. Now, we're not talking about in the Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State range of better, but he's gotten better winning percentage-wise as he's continued, escalating up his coaching career-wise.
But he also left some sanctions behind
I'm not a big fan of his, honestly. But here's the thing. Ole Miss didn't have they looked at it from a financial situation. They realized that if they stayed with Matt Luke, they were already losing season tickets as far as this year. Remember, they weren't allowed to go to a bowl game for 2 years. They were losing season ticket holders, and if they had just stayed with Matt Luke this year, already folks were already canceling their 2020 season tickets. Financially, they really had no choice. They had to make a move, and they wanted to bring somebody in that could generate some interest and somebody that could bring in a big personality, and so that's what they are getting in Lane Kiffin.
What about Butchie Boy down in Tuscaloosa? He's passed up another opportunity, it looks like. I don't know if his payoff with the Vols is keeping him on the sideline, but pretty soon people are going to look at him like he doesn't want to go to work.
Well, there's nothing about Butch Jones that has shown us that he could actually be successful as a Power 5 conference coach. And so what we have seen is, yeah, he's great from a Group of 5 standpoint, but there's nothing at this point, when you look at his resume, that he's going to be successful with a Power 5 team. And so with that, you start thinking about that possibility or – getting a Mike Norvell from one and look at the run that they had and what he's done for Memphis. I mean, this year, best team in program history, right? That's why Florida State, when they couldn't get James Franklin or get Matt Campbell from Iowa State to nibble, Mike Norvell, a solid choice from Florida State's eyes. And so you start weighing to which guy do we get the brand new exciting toy for this Christmas season, or do you try to take a chance on somebody who's already failed? And that's the big decisions that a lot of these programs have to make.
Well, I think he's making, $3 million a year on his buyout or whatever, and Colorado State hired somebody for $1.5 million that just got fired.
Only thing I know is, and Alabama fans will be quick to point this out on social media, Alabama has yet to win a national title with Butch Jones on the sidelines.
that brick wind-up doll gets old after a while, and I don't even know if Saban wants to pay him $35,000 next year to be an intern.
That's funny. Hey, listen, have a great night. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, bye.
Thank you now. All right, coming up on the other side, a chance to talk Week 15, not brick by brick either, with three games to go as we look at this stretch run in the NFL with our good buddy Barry Wilner out of New York, the pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. He'll be joining us next. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still a major mess out here due to this crash on 65 northbound here up by Harding Place, between Armory and Harding Place. Again, trying to get up from Brentwood here on 65 northbound back into Nashville, just crawling along. Yes, it's heavy going southbound. That's a given. As you make your way down through there on 65 down through Williamson County, it's wrecking clear on 65 up there at Long Hollow Pike. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for dinner tonight, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Tom Hodges of Goggin Cold Hall, a regional refrigerated company that operates within a 500-mile radius of our home in Smyrna, Tennessee. We're seeking professional drivers to join our family-owned business. Our number one priority of serving our customers is by taking care of our employees first. With a $1,000 sign-on bonus plus a driver referral program, Goggin Cold Hall offers an excellent benefit package with a 401k retirement plan, paid vacations and holidays, insurance options, and a competitive pay structure that includes includes weekly, monthly, and quarterly bonuses. No Northeast travel, no touch freight, and with our late model Freightliner and Kenworth equipment, we promise to treat you in a first-class manner. If you're interested in joining our family at Goggin Cold Haul, please visit www.goggincold.com. That's www.goggincold.com or call us at 931-225-3873. That's Goggin Cold Haul, the coldest team in town.
Lights are twinkling, snows are falling, just like last year, fun is calling. With holiday games, the instant kind, the easiest gift there is to find. So celebrate for just a while, with holiday games that'll make you smile. Only from the Tennessee Lottery, game-changing fun, play responsibly.
Happy holidays, honey.
Ooh, what is it?
Just open it.
Is it a holiday luck instant game?
I don't know.
It sounds like... Is that a $20,000 holiday cheer game? Hold up. You didn't. No. Do I hear a Merry Money and a Holiday Gifts instant game? All instant games?
Do you love it?
Best presents ever!
Make every gift a little brighter with Holiday Instant Games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing holidays celebrating fun. Please play responsibly.
As we watched the suburban garden gnome carefully, carefully without disturbing it, he noticed that it moves like not at all. It's inanimate and utterly without brain function. But despite that, when a garden gnome hears about how Geico not only saves people money, but also gives them access to licensed agents 24/7 online and over the phone, it's clear to them you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. But on second thoughts, maybe don't watch garden gnomes too carefully. People might talk.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. Right now, it's always fun visiting with our next guest, good buddy Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. And Barry, like I always like to say, not just pro football writer, the pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. It's always fun to have you on. Welcome back to the show, young man.
Always my pleasure, Johnny.
All right, so tonight we start week 15, stretch run for playoffs. You're trying to make the playoffs, or if you're on the outside looking in, if you're already in, you know, with 3 weeks to go, you're looking for improvement as far as your seeds are concerned. We get the start for week 15 as the Jets, a almost 17-point underdog on the road tonight, taking on Baltimore. Hey, it's the Jets team, though, has won four out of their last five games. Do you think it's going to be anything of a game tonight? Can the Jets keep this game close?
The Jets are so banged up, it's really hard to tell. They're missing so many important people. They do get Le'Veon Bell back from his flu, which apparently didn't keep him from going bowling on Saturday night.
Right. That's a bad look. That's such a bad look, especially, forget about the fans. It's such a bad look inside that locker room.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's been a lot of bad looks with the Jets this year. They could look really bad tonight against the best team in the league. But the Ravens had some issues, too, with injuries. And my guess is that Lamar Jackson, if he's limited at all, they're going to play a rather conservative game, the Ravens. And if they can get a big enough lead, they might even take Lamar out in the second half, say in the fourth quarter or even earlier, and let RG3 play, because they get a whole bunch of days off after this before they play Cleveland and then Pittsburgh. And I think they would like to see him get as much rest as they can before they hit those last two games.
I saw this stat earlier. You know, here's the Dallas Cowboys. Forget about their record this year. If I just throw out the fact, you know, it's a team that's tied for first place in the NFC East. And, oh, by the way, for the first time in franchise history, they have a 4,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, a 1,000-yard receiver. But then I throw in the fact, and they're 6-7.
Well, you know what? For the first time in the history of the franchise, they also have 2 3-game losing streaks this season.
They're very
inconsistent and maybe the most underachieving team in football. And unless they somehow find a way to get to the Super Bowl, which I don't think any of us expect, I think it's going to cost Jason Garrett his job.
I'll remember, though, we've had a couple of this time of year, not once but twice over the last, 12 years, where a mediocre team from the NFC East went on to win the Super Bowl, and that was the Giants in both of those years, where you know, with 4 weeks to go, with 2 weeks to go, we didn't even know they were going to even make the playoffs, much less make a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I can understand that, and this Dallas team has a bunch of talent, but they don't have Tom Coughlin as coach. I think that means something. And I also think that they're kind of they're in one of these phases where they're not really sure how to get out of this slump they're in. They've done the same thing basically in the last three games. And they're playing a Rams team that, frankly, is better than them. And I can very easily see them losing to the Rams. And then they're in a position where they must win in Philadelphia to have a chance at the playoffs. And the Eagles, who are very banged up, wouldn't be a great representative either. I don't think this is one of those years we see that, Johnny.
I'm looking at teams like the San Francisco 49ers. Last week, an emotional win on the road. It was one of the best games, not just this year, but over the last 5 years. San Francisco finds a way to get it done in New Orleans. This week, they're a double-digit favorite at home against Atlanta. I don't know which version of Atlanta you're going to get. The general public seems to like Atlanta and the points in this one. The question for me will be, if San Francisco is truly a team that could make it all the way to the Super Bowl, these are games where they don't need to play close. These are games where they need to be playing to their full capabilities in handling the Falcons.
Yeah, that's a great point, and they're certainly capable of doing that. The Niners have played in probably the two best games of this season, Johnny, not just the one against the Saints, but the one against the Seahawks.
Good point.
A few weeks ago. They're an exciting team. They're a very well-balanced team. They're well-coached. The Falcons, they've come on a bit in the second half of the season. That defense, though, is nothing to get excited about. The game might be a little closer than some people might think, but I'd be surprised if the Falcons can pull an upset. The game just means too much to San Francisco, which still could wind up the number five seed in the NFC.
You know, it's interesting, and I'd like to get your perception of the Tennessee Titans, because I was on Scott Farrell's show, Farrell on the Bench, a couple weeks ago, and maybe it's because in their backyard they have to deal with the Jets and the Giants, and there's not a lot of things to get totally excited about with those two franchises right now. And so they were, like, you know, talking about how, I guess they were, like, ready to build statues in New York here in Nashville for Mike Vrabel. And I just make the point where, yeah, great, this was prior to the win against Oakland, but going into that, three straight wins, five out of the last six. But what, you know, folks in New York and across the football landscape, you know, failed to remember is the fact that this team also lost four out of five. I understand Ryan Tannehill wasn't playing quarterback at that time. You know, with all this said and done, you know, with the six wins and last seven, the only thing that means is that the Titans would still not be in the playoffs today. They have the same record as the Texans, but because of who they lost to earlier this year, they lose all these tiebreakers. And so here's the thing. If Houston and Tennessee split, you know, this week and then in 2 weeks from now, then obviously if the Texans, if they beat Tampa Bay next week and the Titans lose to New Orleans, Houston's going to win on the tiebreakers.
Yeah, it's going to come down to probably the Titans needing to win both of these games, and they're certainly capable of it. I would not judge the Texans by what we saw against Denver last week.
I agree.
That was clearly a letdown game. You could call it a trap game, coming off the emotional win over New England, and which wasn't as close as the final score showed. The Texans are a better team than that. Are they better than the Titans? We're going to find out on Sunday. And whichever team loses that game is going to be in a difficult spot. But you made a great point that regardless of those two games, they each have tough opponents in between, because the Bucs are playing very, very well. And on offense are really difficult. Even without Mike Evans, they're a really difficult team to stop. And, of course, the Saints are the Saints.
I look at a couple of more this weekend that I have circled. Pittsburgh at home. A slight favorite against Buffalo. Here's two teams certainly with playoff aspirations themselves as well. And I like when we get these kind of pairings, especially outside the division this late in the year.
I love this game. It's going to be a defensive battle. This is like one of those old games when you go back into the 70s and 80s. I could see it being that kind of a game. Maybe it's windy. It's going to be cold. I actually think the Bills are going to win this game. I think the Bills are the better team. I think that they're going to go duck hunting. And, you know, as well as Hodges has played, I think that this could be a game that's going to be very difficult for him, but I don't expect a lot of points in it. I think the Bills are not only going to go into the playoffs, they're going to be a tough out in the first round, particularly if they wind up playing a team like Kansas City or Houston or Tennessee.
The other things on your agenda as far as this weekend with regards to this schedule, I mean, another good one, it's never a bad day when you get a rivalry game like Green Bay at home against Chicago, two teams that are used to December kind of weather. And I think Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay flying under the radar, not many folks are talking about just how good this team is capable of being. And that certainly, I'm sure, suits Aaron Rodgers and company just fine at this point.
You never go under the radar in this rivalry. It's always played up, especially in the two cities. The Bears are playing better. I don't think they've really beaten any teams that scare you, but they are playing better. Trubisky's playing better. But to win in Lambeau, that's a pretty tall ask for the Bears. And their defense has not been... the defense shows some nice numbers, but it hasn't been deciding games the way it did last year. And I think the defense will need to do that in Green Bay. I'm not sure it's able to do that. Remember, Green Bay is as balanced on offense as any team in the league.
You know, how about the Rams? You know, here's a team that they lose in the Super Bowl to the Patriots. Right now, they're having to try to find a way to chase down Seattle and Minnesota to get one of those wild card spots. Look, the public loves them. This team on Sunday. I think 90+% taking the Rams. They're a 1-point favorite on the road going into Dallas on Sunday.
Well, that's a reflection of how Dallas has played, and the Cowboys are not a great home team. They haven't been almost since that building opened. And right now the Rams are just playing so much better. The sad thing for the Rams, it's their own fault, of course, is they could wind up a 10-6 team. I think they could even wind up an 11-5 team and not get into playoffs. And if they do get in, they'd be very dangerous. Johnny, I actually think any of the six NFC teams, any of the five NFC teams, let's forget the NFC East, any of those other five who get in, could go to the Super Bowl, and I think the Rams would be one of those teams if they get in.
Which team do you like the most? If you're in Vegas and you had to go one or the other, I know the Saints lost at home on Sunday, but that doesn't take away from what I think the Saints are capable of doing once the playoffs begin.
I don't think you can pinpoint a true favorite amongst those teams, and none of those teams is afraid of going on the road. Green Bay might be the one team that benefits the most from being at home, but I don't think that it's a big task and an overwhelming task for any of the teams to go on the road and win. So I think any of them can get in. It's not like the AFC where it looks like there's two, maybe three teams in the AFC that might be able to get to the Super Bowl.
Hey, by the way, too, it's not a guarantee that the Patriots actually win the AFC East this year. They only have a game edge over Buffalo, and you said you like Buffalo against Pittsburgh this weekend. They still have to play one more time this year as well. What would that mean if it's the Bills and not the Patriots representing the AFC East as far as hosting a playoff game?
I think it would probably be Armageddon for all of those Patriots fans who are so spoiled now by what they've achieved over the last almost two decades.
They got to tape more, huh? They got to do some more videotaping.
Well, the Bengals are not exactly the team you should be videotaping.
Yeah, good point.
But the Bills would have to win in Foxborough, and they have to win out. Now, of course, they finish with the Jets in Orchard Park. If they were to beat the Steelers, they'll go into that game with supreme confidence. They're not afraid of going in there. They just have a terrible history of playing in New England. So, again, that's a tough one to think they'll win the division. But I think that they're built the right way to make some noise in the playoffs wherever they play.
Barry, always a pleasure having you on. I know you've been a little bit under the weather in the past few weeks. We continue to wish you a speedy recovery, and we certainly look forward to talking to you again as we continue to get down here with the nitty-gritty with just 3 weeks remaining on this NFL slate. But until then, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we certainly look forward to talking to you again.
Same to you, Johnny, and hopefully I'll talk to you before the holidays.
You can count on it. I look forward to it.
All right, take care.
Thank you again. Barry Wilner, once again, with the AP up in New York. Hey, in a world of corporate giants, it's nice to know there's a locally owned professional pharmacy that's here to take care of you and your family. Harding Pharmacy in Southeast Nashville, they're a full-service pharmacy where the employees are dedicated to meeting the individual needs of their customers with the highest level of service. So have your prescriptions transferred, or better yet, have your next one filled at Harding Pharmacy, where they also offer free delivery in the area. That's right, Harding Pharmacy, your fast and friendly family pharmacy, easy to find at 4120 Nolensville Pike, just south of Harding Place, next to the post office. Let them know your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you.
Well, good afternoon. Still a major mess out here due to this crash on 65 northbound here up by Harding Place, between Armory and Harding Place. Again, trying to get up from Brentwood here on 65 northbound back into Nashville, just crawling along. Yes, it's heavy going southbound. That's a given. As you make your way down through there on 65 down through Williamson County, it's wrecking clear on 65 up there at Long Hollow Pike. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for dinner tonight, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
You know when you gotta be somewhere, it's like really urgent? You don't want to do it over the phone. Some things just can't be said with an LOL or an OMG. Some things just need to be done IRL. So you're getting your Nissan Altima and drive. Feel the VC turbo engine instantly react to give you more power and efficiency so you can get where you need to go.
Hey, Eric. What are you doing here?
Like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific Segmentation, 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available feature. World's first production variable compression turbo engine launched by Nissan Motor Company Limited in 2018.
His favorite bourbon, her favorite bottle of wine. Magic moments begin at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits in Brentwood. Whether hosting a party or just looking for a nice bottle of wine for dinner, you can't go wrong with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, with an impressive array of wine and spirits to choose from. How many times have you been in a supermarket wandering up and down the wine aisle, getting more confused and frustrated by the minute? When you ask for help, they know less than you do. Tim Brinkman and the staff at Brinkman's Wine and Spirits will make you feel welcomed and appreciated. They have a passion for personal service to help you make the best selection for your specific taste and budget. The originator of local bourbon tastings, there's always opportunities to discover new spirits and wines. Looking for gift ideas? They can assist you with suggestions for all occasions. Rediscover Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, located at 7110 Town Center Way, just east of Franklin Road and the roundabout by the Brentwood Post Office. Good, better, Brinkman's.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap, even here in the off season, believe it or not. Now, last week was Champions Week from Nashville. We will recap that as well as a ton more. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hey, this is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Doubleman Camry, and you're listening to the Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And be sure to like us at facebook.com/thefinalap. You'll get everything you need to know right there every single weekday right here.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. By the way, I'd like to remind you about our good buds over at the Klein Preston Law Group here in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Braves and the Southeastern Conference. You know, they've got over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. You know, the Klein Preston Law Group, they've represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee, all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And look, their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. For more information on how they can help you, go to their website, Klein with a K, KleinPrestonLaw.com. Big thanks to our visitors, Kevin McAlpin with the Braves Radio Network, David Basil, talk show host out of Little Rock, Will West with Knoxville Sports Radio WNML, Barry Wilner with the Associated Press in New York, and Doug Segrist out of Birmingham with the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340. Don't forget, Bill King Show tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, followed by Greg Pogue and the John Burton Show, 9 to 11. Right before us at 4, from 2 to 4, the George Plaster Show. We'll see you back here again tomorrow afternoon. Have a great night, everybody, and do us both a favor and make it count.